He promised us that he would be a counselor, a mighty God and a Prince of Peace. He promised us that he would be a Father, and he'd love us with a love that would not cease. Well, I've tried him and I've found his promises are true. He's everything he said that he would be. The finest words I know could not begin to tell just what Jesus really means to me. For he He's more wonderful than my heart can believe. He goes beyond my highest hopes and fondest dreams. He's everything that my soul ever longed for. Everything he's promised, and so much more.
More than amazing,
more than marvelous, more than miraculous could ever be. He's more than wonderful. That's what Jesus is to me.
just a few minutes, we'll open it up for any words of encouragement or edification. And at that time, I'll let you know what we're going to do, because you can use either. If there's some young folks that want to, and it's easier to reach, you can stand on a step and use down there. If there's others that don't want to come up here, they can speak from down there. And I'll just move this back and forth accordingly, because this links right to the live stream. But before we do that, Sister Glazier asked if her first pastor would bring some thoughts. And that's not me, of course. Pastor Chuck Barnes had the privilege of leading them to Christ. So almost 15 years ago now. Yeah, discipling them, mentoring them. So I thought we'd turn it over to you, brother, whatever you have.
I come to a spot like this. I'm not good at saying goodbye. I'd much rather say hello. My thoughts often run to Psalms chapter number 90. So if you want to turn there for just a few moments, we will. Psalms chapter 90, verse 9 and verse 10, last part of verse 9, excuse me, verse number 10. Psalm chapter 90, verse number 9, the last part of that verse says, "We spend our years as a tale that is told. The days of our years are 80 years and 10. If by reason of strength they be 80 years, yet is their strength labor and sorrow, for it is soon cut off, and we fly away." And there's a primary interpretation of that passage, which simply goes, life is short. He is describing it not as a novel, not as a lengthy autobiography. He is describing 80 years, i.e. 70 years, 80 and 10, as simply a tale that is told. That's how quickly it goes by. You can read a paragraph out of a book, and it is just a momentary setting. And when we stop and think, the application of this is that 70 years is not very long. Now, I'm glad that there's some young people in this church, but I also see some that have got a few birches in their beards, and they have some age on them, and time has passed very quickly. Now, in a tale that is told, hopefully there are some joyful memories, and that'll be shared here in a few moments, I believe. And Bonnie is a blessing. And in her life, she's been a blessing to others. She's been a blessing to this preacher when it was my privilege to pastor here for a while, and I considered her and Bill to be friends, both personally and of the ministry. But the greatest tale that is told in Bonnie's life has already been alluded to, and that is her salvation found in the Lord Jesus Christ. When it comes to our turn, and the window of life is closing, the greatest tale that should be a part of our story is that day when we found ourselves a lost sinner underneath the condemnation of God, but we humbled ourselves and became obedient to the gospel, and we surrendered ourselves to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. What a difference. What a difference. And so that was a life-changing event for Bonnie, and it was a life-changing event for anybody who's genuinely come to salvation. Her subsequent growth in Christian maturity was a part of this ministry. This ministry, this church, has had an impact in the community and beyond. And it was a part of the ministry of this church, keeping the light on, keeping the gospel being preached, members faithfully supporting it in prayer and giving, that saw a Bonnie Glazier get saved and a Bill Glazier get saved, and through them others have heard the gospel story. And I'm grateful for that. I'm grateful to be a part of that. I'm grateful to be a part of a church then. I'm grateful to be a part of a church now that is interested in souls coming to Jesus Christ. And that decision is sometimes it takes a while. According to Bonnie's own testimony, I don't remember all the exact details, but according to Bonnie's own testimony, you know, it just happened to be me, but I just gave her a gospel tract on a Saturday morning, and she kept that gospel tract for 9 years. And after 9 years, God had finally worked in her heart and made her obedient to the gospel of Jesus Christ. That ought to encourage all of us to keep putting out the gospel seed. You just never know when it's going to germinate and produce a soul for the Savior. I'm thankful that Bonnie was a faithful member of this church and has been a faithful member since that day. I'm thankful that she's an encouragement. She's still an encouragement. We went to visit her last evening, and you know, it's just the Bonnie smile, the Bonnie bubbliness. There's no woe is me attitude. It's like, you know, I'm going home. Amen. And I pray that God gives me the grace like that when it comes my time to go. But I'm thankful that, you know, our tales is a year that our life is a tale that is told. And there's a lot of stories that are going to be shared in coming days. But they all have a happy ending. And that happy ending for us is found in John chapter number 14. I'm going to read that just because I want to. It says, let not your heart be troubled. Yeah. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And Bonnie, I want to encourage you with those verses. I want to encourage our church with those verses. You know, the Lord's coming back. We may never come to that point where the end of life reaches us. I'm praying for the Lord's return. And I'm praying it'll be soon. If the headlines are any indication, it's going to be soon. Are you ready for that day? Are you right with the Lord? Are you saved? Are you a child of God? Are you serving Him like you ought to be serving Him? Do you love Him with all your heart? May God give you that grace. I want to have a word of prayer, and then I'll find my seat. Heavenly Father, I thank you for Bonnie. I thank you for her testimony. And Lord, I join with her in prayer for her circle of influence, for those that may still be outside of Christ, that this event would spark them to consider the things of eternity and where they stand before you. Lord, the seed has been planted in their life through her testimony and her prayers. Now, God, may their hearts be softened even more. May they come to that place of surrender to the Lord Jesus Christ. And Father, we'll rejoice together, not only now, but in those mansions above, when we get to see you face to face. Lord, I pray for your grace upon her. I pray for your grace upon this church. I love you, Lord. Thank you for being a gracious, loving Heavenly Father. In Jesus' name, amen.
All right, we're going to open. it up for a few moments tonight. If you have something on your heart you'd like to share, you got a memory or a few brief words of well wishes, young and old alike, and we won't delay, but we want to give opportunity for anybody and everybody who'd like to come to speak a word, share a testimony, maybe a scripture, whatever it may be. If you're comfortable coming up here, you certainly can be. If not, you're welcome to stay down here. Some of the shorter kids, or younger kids, I should say, if you feel it'd be better to stand on the step down there, get you a little higher, we'll adjust as we go. We're flexible to get you a step there and we'll have someone working the camera and the microphone. But if anybody would like to say a word of encouragement or share a memory or a thought to Sister Glazier or to the church family, please go ahead and make your way down here. If you can't, let me know and I'll bring a microphone to you. We'll turn the camera around. Everybody's in their Sunday finest. You guys look good tonight, so. Brother.
I guess the first thing I want to say is that when I think of Bonnie, I can't help but think of her father and Bill. Her dad was an amazing man. I worked on his barn for a while, and we would have dinner together, and he would always tell me stories about his life, and the things that man went through was unbelievable. He was a pilot, and he went through three wars. He went through World War II, and Korea, and Vietnam. He also mapped out the world, pretty much. After World War II, there was a program that they wanted to map out the whole entire world, and he was a big part of that. Bill, you can't say enough about Bill. He just made your heart feel good about yourself. He was really tolerant with our kids. We had some little ones at that time, and he would always bring his oxygen tanks in and tip them on the side and let the little ones spin the wheel on the oxygen tanks. They just got the biggest kick out of that. Him and Bonnie were really, really good to our children. They were really patient with them, and we really appreciated that. And Bonnie, every time I think of Bonnie, I remember I was going down the road, and just beyond her house, there was a truck for sale, and I needed a truck at that time, and I stopped in and. It was a four-wheel drive truck, and I was trying to think of a place I could take it, because the guy told me to take it for a ride, and I said, well, I'll just go back to Bonnie's and drive up into her dooryard and up into the woods, because there was a woods road that went up in there, not thinking that the truck Bonnie wouldn't recognize, but I drove up beyond her house and went up into the woods. And I turned around and I come down and here's this irate woman with a shotgun in her hand. Look at me. And I put my hands up and surrendered right away. And I think she got a kick out of that, but she yeah, her and Bill were a pair. They really were a blessing to our church and to my family and to my wife and kids. We surely miss Bill and we'll miss Bonnie too.
All right, who'd like to go next? No particular order. Steve's got something quick you'd like to say?
Yep.
All right.
Bonnie. die. Yes. Love you, Bond. Let my heart do such me. Mom, father at me. Do my heart love your heart and Jesus let me, my womb, Lord, let my Lord let. Mom, Mohe, ball on nose, no, Mohe, kickball, hand, pull, let, Mohe, do my church, my mom, mom. Father, my movie to me, born Jesus up to the phone. It came, let it came, my little car, it came.
He gets a lot in there in just a minute or two. From loving Bonnie to his shared love with Bonnie for football. And then also let your light shine for the Lord. I think that was, or the guy hit the field goal post. One of the two, Sister Glazier might know, and she loves football. So, Sister Saban, I see you're back there.
Bonnie, I am blessed to have you as my friend and sister in Christ. Your faith and love for the Lord is a shining light. And when Bonnie speaks of her salvation, it is with joy and excitement. And when she tells about the day that she accepted Jesus as her Savior, she says, like the woman at the well, Bonnie does proclaim him. She wants people to have the same blessed assurance and peace that she has, that peace that passeth all understanding. I'd like to read a poem. E'en for dead, I will not bind my soul to grief. Death cannot long divide, for it is not as though the rose that climbed my garden wall has bloomed on the other side. Death does hide, but not divide. You are but on Christ's other side. You are with Christ, and Christ with me. In Christ united still are we. I love you, Bonnie. I love you for who you are through Christ. I will miss you. I hope to see you again on this side. But if I don't, I will see you on the other side.
Amen. Good. Jeffrey has something to say.
You're a Christian, so you mind run the microphone back to Deacon Malloy? Would you like us to run your microphone, brother? Would that work best, or you want to come down? Or whatever works for you.
Can you take this as well, Brother Christensen?
Miss Bonnie, Jesus says in Matthew 5:16, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father, which is in heaven. And when I read that verse, I think of you. You've always been a shining light here at Second Baptist Church. You and your husband coming here with different seasons of life, but you always have the joy of the Lord, and it was reflected in your countenance and in your spirit. And I can always hear your laugh. It's infectious in a good way. And it just brings it. You can't help but smile when you hear your laugh in the room. And I want to thank you for that. I just want to thank you for your testimony. And I want to thank you for being faithful through the thick and thin of life and being the wonderful example for myself and for all those who are a blessing to be able to meet you and be with you. I just want to thank you for your spirit and who you are. And I just wanted to say that I hope that God has some chickadees up there so you can feed them. Because I know you've been lacking that this winter, and I pray he's got a bag of bird seed you can spread out there for your chickadees when you get there. And as Mom said, it's not goodbye, it's I'll see you later.
Appreciate that. And there's some that claim cats will be in heaven, so if cats will be there, the chickadees got to be there, so. Sister Glazer, if you can't tell, my dad's in the congregation. Anybody else? Something on your heart or mind to say? Feel free to just come right ahead or get my attention. Landon, you want to say a word? You want to stand over here where you can get that microphone? Right on the podium, I guess. There you go.
Well, before I ask, we have a free Bible.
Anybody else? Sister Annie, want to say a word?
I'm glad to meet you, Bonnie. You are an amazing woman. And last night, I got on Facebook, and I was on Facebook, and I told her, don't, please don't leave me alone. Because God put us as Christian sisters. You are a very, very beautiful woman inside and out. Thank you, Annie. The Lord will decide when I will bring me home to His glorious heaven. He is an inspiration to me. For this, I will always remember you and keep you in my heart. The pastor is always here for you. And I want to say another thing. God loved that woman. That woman, the first day I met that lady, she brought a smile to my heart. She'll always be in my memory. And I will never forget her.
Amen. Appreciate that. I'm sure Sister Glazer does as well. Anybody else want to say a word? Feel free. Just get my attention wherever you are. Sister Eisler.
I want to read a couple verses.
Sure. I'm going to go over there, up here, work for you, whatever works. I'll get out of your way.
So I noticed with Second Baptist Church, where it's been spoken many times, or mentioned many times, we're a family. And I don't think there's a lady in this church that can't say that she hasn't been like a sister to us. One of my favorite conversations with her was how we are family, and that how the love of God just always makes us cry. But we cry with joy. So I'm reading my Bible, and I came across a verse that really made me think of her. The king's daughter is all glorious within, her clothing is rods of gold. She shall be brought unto the king in raiment of needlework, the virgins, her companions that follow her, shall be brought unto thee. With gladness and rejoicing shall they be brought, they shall enter into the king's palace. And I'll tell you, Miss Bonnie, your love for God is inspiring. And you're an inspiration. Even now, hearing all the stories of how you can still smile, that's wonderful. And I am praying for you. But I'm praying that that it's a wonderful journey for you. And we'll see you again. Love you.
Somebody else.
I have a lot of memories of you, Miss Bonnie. Some are feeding the birds with the kids when they were little. We had the privilege of just living down the road from you for a while and just being able to walk up the road around 10:30 every day and sit in your yard and have a snack. And I think the last time Landon was just a baby, he was in the stroller and we were feeding the birds, and he was having a good time under the shade of the tree. And pretty soon, you'll be with Jesus. And I'm happy for you, I really am. And you'll be sitting in the shade and maybe even feeding the birds, as Brother Jeff said. And you'll be with Bill and your loved ones. I just want to say that I'm thankful for Uncle Chuck and his faithfulness of patching those tracks out. And I'm thankful for the blood of Christ that makes us sisters. And I'm thankful for this church and for the Lord leading me here. And I was looking through pictures on my Facebook and of our wedding, and I have a picture of you and Brother Glazier shaking our hands as you're coming out the door. And I have pictures of Ruby with Brother Glazier, and I have pictures of the kids with you. And I'll cherish those memories. I'm just really, it really makes you think, like Uncle Chuck said, is our life is a tale, and your tale is about to end, but what a beautiful life in Christ you've had, and the testimony that you leave behind. And I'm praying for your family, and I just want you to know that you're loved, and we're praying as the days go on, the Lord would just be near and dear to you and Tammy as she takes care of you. I love you.
Anybody else? Sister Ann?
Miss Bonnie, I don't know you as well as anyone else here does, but what comes to my thought was that today you're here for support, and we gave everybody a joy. When someone said their laughter gives us a lot of joy, it actually does, it's infectious, absolutely. I just remember you sitting on that rock with us, and you were, the kids were calling on you. In fact, I get pictures of you with the kids giving you rabbit ears. And we all got, I don't know, it was just a very enjoyable day. You're a phenomenal person. Thank you, not with the birds, but we'll miss you.
Very good, thank you.
Go, Father.
Get a Bible and songbook. I'm not going to preach. I'm not going to sing.
Thank you.
Those two things you ought to carry everywhere you go, I guess. A lot of fond memories. Miss Bonnie, Bill, her dad. I remember the day we honored her dad in service. That was quite an experience there. I just want to read a verse. Miss Bonnie, and also to Miss Bonnie, your friends, relatives, and our church members here could see this on video, whatever it is, a thought that you can carry with you and consider. And that is in 2 Corinthians 5:21. It really changed my life 2 years ago. After I'd been in church for 40 plus years, having a religion but not a relationship with God. And that verse says this, for he, talking about God, had made him, talking about his son Jesus, to be sin for us. And Bonnie, this is part for you too, who knew no sin, but that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. God can take a dirty old sinner and forgive us and give us the righteousness of God. Amen. We don't deserve it, we can't earn it, but thank God we can have it. God is such a wonderful, gracious, loving Father. And Bonnie, you do have the righteousness of God. Many have testified tonight, they've seen it in your life. and will continue to see in your life. And we love the example you've left for us to try to follow, to be that Christian example of God's righteousness to others. Our church here, we strive to be like Bonnie, who's always got a testimony, he's always happy, always, no matter what's happening in life, can see Jesus through her, and other people can see it. So anybody that doubts that there's a God looks at somebody like Bonnie, and you just know God is real. Real to her, and can be real to you as well. Not just people who might see this video, I'm talking about people inside this building right now. Just because you're sitting in church doesn't mean you have God's righteousness. You might have a religion, but you need God's righteousness. You need a relationship with God. I'll read it one more time. For he had made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. It's all about Jesus. Amen. It's all about Jesus. And I'm not going to sing, but I want to try to encourage you, Miss Bonnie, and others with the words of a song. And I'm going to read them to you. So I'm going to be gracious and not try to sing them. It says, what a friend we have in Jesus. It says, what a friend we have in Jesus, all our sins and grief to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. All because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. Is have we trials and temptations? Is there trouble anywhere? You don't got to look very far to find that nowadays. We should never be discouraged. Just take it to the Lord in prayer. Can we find a friend so faithful, who will all our sorrow share? Jesus knows our every weakness. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Are we weak, heavy laden, cumbered with a load of care? Precious Savior, still our refuge. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Do thy friend despise, forsake thee? Take it to the Lord in prayer. In his arms, he'll take and shield thee. Thou will find a solace there. And Bonnie, our prayer for you is you take it to the Lord in prayer like you've done for years, and you find that solace in God's arms, and only the comfort and peace that he can provide, that he can give. We love you. We miss you. Hopefully we'll be able to see you one more time before you go, but if not, we'll see you on the other side.
Anybody else? Any opportunity tonight? Brother Werner, want to say a word? Either one. Whichever one works for you.
This would be fine. What do I do with that?
Oh, that just...
So she can hear you.
They can hear me. Bonnie!
God, we're both old. We have a lot of helps that we need. God is a gracious God, and he gives us all the help we need. This is a dress rehearsal for you, Bonnie. This is your graduation is coming up, and it's a happy time. It's not a sad time. There's some sad memories from things because we miss what you did. And I only knew you a couple years ago when you were feeling a little better and Tom brought you here. And we were starting to do tracks. We were doing street witnessing and track ministry. And I don't have the tracks that you gave me. The next week you said, I got a bunch of tracks and I will bring some tracks. And the next week you came back, Bonnie came back, and she brought a bunch of tracks, like these, tracks. And these are what is so important. This is Bonnie's testimony. We may forget over the period of many years, and sometimes we get older, we forget faster, but we may forget some of the details. But this is a testimony that will last forever. And Bonnie herself is that testimony. Just as Tom himself is that testimony. That what she did, she fulfilled the Great Commission. That she sat right over there in that front, I remember it well. And she said, here's a paper bag. And she had a whole bunch of tracts in it. And I think we gave out almost all of them. And that was just, it's a great testimony for you, Bonnie, and I thank you. And I'm glad I got a chance to meet you. Thank you.
Anybody else? Whichever you would like.
I can slide that for you.
Hi, Bonnie. Thanks. Well, Bonnie, my favorite memories of you was actually when I had the pleasure of picking you up for Sunday morning church. That was a blessing. I'd pick you up. We'd talk about all kinds of things. Talk about the Lord. Talk about missing our spouses. And then we did this pretty thing. We'd call each other on the phone, and we would share the Lord with one another, and we'd get into our Bibles. Those are good memories, you know. I miss that you can't be here in church anymore. You know, I've been missing you for a long time, you know, and I've been praying for you a long time. I guess your time's coming close that you're gonna stand before the Lord. And I'm grateful you are. Actually, I'm a little jealous that you're getting here before me, but you know. So we've had those conversations before too. You're my sister in Christ. I love you. And I pray for you, and I'll continue to pray for you. I pray that the Lord will ease any pain and suffering you feel right now. And I pray that He'll take you gently.
I really got something to say, baby girl. Alluded to, but a couple, 3 years ago, the Lord gave Sister Glazier a measure of health that for the first time in a number of years, she was able to be here somewhat regularly. And I won't go into it on a live stream, but it coincided sovereignly, providentially, with one of the darkest trials our family ever has gone through and are still in. The Lord chose to bring Bonnie back into our lives at that moment when, like she said the other day, when Ireland was missing a Grammy's lap. And the day we met here with some folks to discuss those matters, she insisted on being here. Sister Ann mentioned that. She sat out on the rock with Sister Ann and helped smile and laugh and keep the kids distracted. And the Lord has used her in a vital role in our life and in our kids' life and in this church. We appreciate your faithfulness to the Lord, sister. You've touched a lot of lives, young and old. Anybody else? Something on your heart or your mind to share tonight? Pastor Christensen?
Second Corinthians chapter 4, and beginning verse 13 says, "We having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believed and therefore have I spoken. We also believe and therefore speak, knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise up us also by Jesus and shall present us with you. For all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God. For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, an house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed upon with our house, which is made from heaven, which is from heaven. If so be that being clothed, we shall not be found naked. For we that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened, not for that we would be unclothed, but clothed upon, that mortality might be swallowed up of life. Bonnie, you're just going in for a new fitting to be clothed upon. Your mortality will be swallowed up in life. So shall you ever be with the Lord.
Anybody else? I gotta turn myself down. I have a built-in microphone, but we also have a PA system here, so.
Received letters from her, emails or something, and how she always prayed for us, and especially prayed for my girls during my high-risk pregnancies, and so she'll be missed, but she'll always be remembered as an encouragement and a prayer warrior. Appreciate it.
Anybody else have a thought on your heart, on your mind that you wanted to share, give you an opportunity tonight? We have a couple other things before I bring a short charge from the scriptures. Some things are going to save for Sunday service. Some things are tonight, but if you have your hymn book still, I'm trying to remember, I think it's the old blue one. It's 279 is the page number. As much as Brother Clay was hoping to hear 270, I told him 279 earlier because we're thinking of, he's thinking of one song, but I had another song written down here. I thought we'd sing it together before we go to the scriptures for just a few moments. And I only put this down here so that Sister Glazier can enjoy hearing all of your singing and
not me singing a solo directly into that microphone. 279, if you'd like to stand together, you certainly can. This is one of her favorite hymns. She sang it the night Bill went to heaven, amongst others, and it's just been dear to her. It's called In the Garden. We know it well. 279. Just for a few moments. I'm aware of the time, as I'm sure Sister Glazier is, and I won't be long at all. But we'd be amiss in a service of celebrating the difference that the gospel can make in a person without discussing the gospel. And Bonnie's life, as she calls it, started in June 2009. And the Lord Jesus gave her new life, and she wanted her friends and family in the church and abroad to hear the good news of Jesus Christ. And I thought we'd turn to the scriptures for a few moments before we conclude the evening. So if you have your Bibles, I'm going to go to the book of Enoch tonight. And it's only like three of us here are like, I didn't believe he just said that. And I told her today, I said, I'm going to say that. She said, that'd be so funny if you did. And he said, what are you talking about? Don't worry about it. And I'm actually going to the book of Enoch tonight or any other night. She has read it for me and has filled me in on everything I need to know about the book of Enoch. And you know, you now know everything that you need to know about the book of Enoch. He said, I don't know anything. Exactly. And it's some wonderful, colorful stories in there, I am sure she has said. But I'm just going to talk for a few moments and conclude the service with a gospel message. So I don't have one primary text I'm going to read from the several scriptures as we go throughout. But to say this to us here and to those that are watching, or you will be watching this one day in memory of your loved one, many of you have known Bonnie for decades, though, especially those of you friends and family that will watch this via social media. You knew her as a girl, you knew her as a mother, you knew her as your grandmother, many other relationships that you could fill in the blank. I've only ever known her as my sister in Christ. I didn't know her before. I didn't know what she was like before she found the Lord, if you will. But those of you who knew and know Bonnie Glazier, but those of you who knew her before June 2009 and now know her after, you know this undeniably. Something was different.
Right.
Something happened that day in June 2009. Not everybody appreciated the changes. They still don't. And I don't know who that would be, but there's folks that fall on both sides of the fence. But critics or defenders of Sister Glazier's faith would have to say undeniably something happened. Well, according to the scriptures, she was born that day into the family of God. She passed from death unto life. She passed from darkness into light. She was freed from her burden of sin when she was washed in the blood of the Lamb. Can I say this? Something was different because Bonnie Glazier was different. She was a totally new person, and she still is. She'd be the first to say this. She was not a reformed, cleaned up version of who she used to be. That day she was made a completely new creation in and by the Lord Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away, behold, all things are become new. So June 9, 2009, Bonnie Glazier realized she was a sinner before a holy God and called on Christ as her Savior and Lord. Now those of us that know the Lord and the Lord knows us are confident and were comforted by this fact, that based upon the authority of the Word of God, our dear sister may soon pass over Jordan's River as she sails home to be with the Lord, but she is not lost. She is not gone. She will have simply gone home to be with our Heavenly Father and will be awaiting our arrival as well. You know the text of 1 Thessalonians 4. He said this, but I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, those that have fallen asleep in Christ, them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe, there's the key, for if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore comfort one another with these words. That's something we as brothers and sisters in Christ have confidence in. We are comforted by. If you're here tonight, or if you're watching this video, Sister Glazier is still on this earth. But whether it is her time on this earth or her time on those celestial shores, if you're watching or listening, what would Bonnie love to know from you? What would Bonnie Glazier like to hear from you? She wants to know that she will see you there as well. Because you too are born again. Here tonight or watching this, you may say, well, I know the Lord. Does he know you? It has been said that all paths lead to God, and I agree. Christian, Jew, Muslim, atheist, agnostic, no matter what path you are on, you will stand before God. But only one way leads to life eternal. And that is through the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. John 14 was read tonight. I won't read it all, but in verse 6 of that same text, Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. So you can go to where God is one day, like Sister Glazier anticipates, and be at peace with that God. You can be reunited with your loved ones who have gone on before, but can I kindly say, by the word of God, you cannot come to God on your own terms. No one is pure enough, no one is good enough to stand before God at peace based on their own righteousness. And I know I'm kind of preaching to the internet world that is out there, but our congregation is gathered tonight too, and there are lost folks among us, even if it be but for our children that have yet to know Christ. No matter who it is, you don't need reformation. You don't need to turn over a new leaf. You don't have to join this church or any other church. You don't have to give or be baptized. Ye must be born again. Amen. You shall have already born once, I know. And according to the scriptures, if you were only born once, you will die twice. But if you have been born twice, born into God's family, as spiritually, as physically, you were born one day into your mom and dad's family. If you've been born twice, you only have to die once. And there are many that will say, it's an age-old argument. Well, I'm not that bad. When I stand before God, those great scales of justice, my good will outweigh my bad. Can I reference a story in the Old Testament? Some would know, some may not. There was a king in Daniel's day, and he was a wicked king. But he threw a party one day, and they were drinking and dancing and having a great time, they thought, when all of a sudden just a hand appeared and began writing on the wall. Completely shook him to his core. He calls in all of his wisest men, and they can't tell him what it means. He wants to know, what does the writing on the wall mean for me? I believe it's the king's mother says, well, we do know a preacher named Daniel. And that preacher is wise because he knows God. So call for Daniel. Daniel comes in and reads it, mene, mene, tekel, upharsin. Without belaboring it all tonight, because we don't speak Hebrew. Mene, mene, in a nutshell, means it is numbered and it is finished. And God said it twice that night to that king, that your days have been numbered, your life is coming to an end, death has come for you. But he also said the word tekel. It is you have been weighed and have been found wanting. Not desiring something. You have been weighed and found to be lacking. There is no worth in you. There is no weight in you. My friend, if you're listening tonight, both here and online, the writing is on the wall for each of us.
That's good.
This life comes to an end for us all. All of us will face eternity one day. Hebrews says it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment. Like that king in the times of Daniel, if we could use that as a word picture to explain how you can obtain eternal life, one day your eyes will close here, but they will open before God, and there is a time to face of reckoning, a judgment, a weighing. Every person by themselves will be weighed by God based on certain criteria. You will be placed on the scale of God's justice as a picture I'm trying to present tonight to get you to think. He said, well, that's the scale I just talked about. I'm not that bad. My good will outweigh my bad. That's debatable to begin with. Because every man must agree to the scriptures, if they're honest, that we are not good by ourselves. That without Christ, the very best effort we put forth is tainted by sin. Isaiah says we are all as an unclean thing. And all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. On God's scale of justice, what is being weighed is not your good versus your bad. But upon those two scales, on the scales of justice, on one side is you as a sum total of everything you are. On the other is the Lord Jesus Christ. You on one side stand upon a scale you in your entirety, all the best things about you, all the worst things about you, all the good deeds you want to put on there, all the evil deeds that have been committed or in your heart, and that will be weighed against Christ's perfection and righteousness. If that picture be what we are thinking upon, that here I stand on one side, all of my good, my bad, me as a sum total, and I am being weighed against the perfect, pure Son of God, can any of us in that situation honestly say, I am as pure as the Son of God? I am as perfect as the sweet Lamb of glory. My righteousness outweighs God's righteousness. If you're on that scale against Jesus Christ, you too will be found wanting. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The scales are the scales of God's justice. For the scriptures are abundantly clear, God must judge sin. God's wrath is poured out upon sin. If I am standing on the scales of God's justice, and there I stand in my sin, judgment hangs over me. I am under condemnation. I will be found lacking and eternally separated from God. If you're listening thus far and say, then what can I do? Is there any hope? What can be done that I be found not wanting, not lacking? Philippians 3 said, and be found in Him. Not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. Everything begins and ends with your relationship with Jesus Christ. John chapter 3, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. He that believeth on Him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. My friend, that is the story of Calvary. It is the story of the old rugged cross. We stood in our sin in danger of the wrath of God. On the other side, Jesus stood in perfection as the only begotten Son of God. Christ dying on that old rugged tree was Him offering to trade places, that He will come and stand in your place and pay for your sin if you will go stand in His place and take His righteousness. The invitation of God is simple. See who and what you are according to the Word of God. And see who and what Jesus is as the Son of God. And to hear the invitation, swap sides on the scales of justice. Come stand in Christ's spot as if you are Him, and He'll stand in your spot as if He is you. For as has been read, the Bible says, He hath made Him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. If you're listening still and you say, that's pretty simple. Swap sides, I don't have to die in my sin and be judged, but I can stand before God as pure as Jesus Christ. Well, just trade places, then why doesn't everybody partake? Because you can't have your sin and salvation too. On one side, you stand in your sin. Sin generates a wage that has to be paid. The wages of sin is still death. To go to the other side and accept the righteousness of Jesus Christ, you must turn your back on your sin. You cannot have your will and have your way and accept Christ's invitation. You can't cling to your sin and cling to the old rugged cross. Simply, you must repent of your sin and trust Christ. That I have a willingness to put my back to my sin and put my faith in Jesus Christ as the only remedy for my lost sinful condition. You must have a change of heart about who you are and your sin. A change of heart that says, I am not okay before a holy God. My righteousness is not enough to save me. I am a hopeless, helpless sinner who must cast himself in repentance and faith upon the mercy of Jesus Christ. to come to Christ and to be born into God's family, thus obtaining eternal life, you must be willing to turn to Christ from your sin and call upon Him as Savior and Lord. Because the Bible is also clear, the Lord Jesus Christ did not enter this world, die, and rise again simply to save you from hell. A place called hell of fiery torment is simply an eternal punishment. It is the penalty for sin. Jesus did not come just to save you from hell. He came to save you from your sin. He came to free you from your sin. The penalty of your sin, death and hell. He came to free you from the power of your sin. And one day, like our dear sister, He will save us from the presence of sin. For in that celestial city, even the memory of sin is gone. It's no wonder on that day in June of 2009, when Sister Bonnie called on the Lord, she said, "I felt so free, that I felt such joy, that I ran outside shouting, 'Jubilee, Jubilee,'" a word she'd never used, because she'd been set free.
Amen.
From her sin.
Yeah.
"And if the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed." Our church has heard multiple times, I try to preach every sermon as if it could be my last. And I also try to preach every sermon as it could be your last. And it may be Bonnie's last chance to hear this message preached. And my friend, it may be your last chance to hear this message preached. Because Proverbs says, "Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth." If the Lord is drawing you, is stirring in your heart about the things of God, the things of eternity, where will I stand when I stand before God? Won't you come to Christ today? Won't you see yourself in that picture standing on those great scales? Won't you be honest with yourself that on my best day, I can't match Jesus Christ? And admit before God, my only hope is to turn to Christ and call upon Him. "Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner. Lord, save me from my sin." Let's have a word of prayer before we conclude tonight's celebration of the gospel. It is good news for those who receive and believe it in time. Our Father in heaven, we thank You for what has been experienced and engaged in tonight. It has been good to encourage ourselves in song and in memory and in Scripture, that for those of us who know You as our Savior, we look forward to being home one day as well, reunited with family and friends who have already crossed over, but primarily and preeminently being united with the Lord Jesus Christ, seeing the One we have talked about and sung about for so long. But our God, we'd ask for Your help once again tonight for those that have gathered here, for those that are watching or listening to this, that You would continue to draw them to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. That those that have yet turned to Christ from their sin and put their faith in the finished work of Calvary, that they might think on what they have heard, that they might call or message or reach out or stop in and ask also, "What must I do to be saved?" That they might find the freedom and the joy and the hope that our dear sister did almost 15 years ago. Thank You for the Word of God that gives us this confidence. Thank You for the hope of heaven that we can set our affections upon, turn our attentions to, that this life is not all there is, but we look for that city which is to come. Help us tonight, lost and saved, to think upon the things of Christ. We might give gravity and solemnity to that which is due our eternal destination. That those that are saved may rejoice. That those that are still lost may come to Christ while there's still time. Help us, we pray, as we conclude tonight's service. We'd ask Your blessing upon our sister. You'd relieve the pain and the struggles from her body. She might be able to rest tonight if it be Thy will to keep her on this earth for a season longer. We know not if You'll give her a day or a month or a year. But would You help her tonight that she'd receive the grace and the mercy that You have for us? use her life once again, we'd ask, as a witness to those around her, but also as an example for us of a saint to follow, that we would also let our lights shine before men. Lord, help us tonight, we pray in Christ's name. Amen.
Amen.
Appreciate you coming out. We will conclude the service tonight right there. Feel free to stay in fellowship in the other room as long as you choose.